Do not adjust your radio frequency. This is not a test. This is the Artist First Network. Cool.
Greetings, everyone. Again, Z-Man working the booth tonight for another featured artist special. And tonight, we want to welcome back for an encore performance the guys, I shouldn't say that guys, it's actually a guy and a gal, the musical duo called The Second Axing, you guys might remember. They've been on before with us. Let's welcome back for their second time, Janet Kuipers and John Yatko. Hey, guys, do we got you? Uh-oh. I have to punch your guy's microphone in first. Sorry, guys. After I said, do we got you? I didn't have your mic turned on. But we got you now. How are things in you guys are in Illinois, right?
Yes,
that's
we are.
Right.
Well, welcome back to the station. How's things going in your guy's world since last time we chatted?
Oh, it's just fine. We're still doing our studio work. Actually, John recently had a choir backup for a flag raising ceremony. He got somebody requested a cover of, what was it? Proud to be an American.
Proud to be an American.
And I just said, I'm going to back away from this one. And John here was the highlight. He sang it as well as played. Had a choir of probably about 25 people backing him up, too. But anyway.
I really don't like country music.
Well, you know, there's my philosophy about music is there's good music in every category and there's bad music in every genre.
Oh, I thought there was good music and then there's country music, but you know, that's my opinion. No, actually, I do like country music.
You guys can direct the hate mail to the websites we have listed under the second axing.
John's opinion on it. We do like different kinds of country music. I mean, he would say that he likes old country music, or old country artists like Hank Williams Sr.
Gene Autry. So, like I said the last time we were on here, every time I write music, it ends up being country. So, if I don't like it, I must not like myself.
Well, country music is, you know, I just wanted to say this is a queer way to look at country music, but you know, let's say the extreme other end of the musical spectrum would be rap, perhaps, right?
From country. Techno-industrial.
Well, but what I'm thinking is here now, where was the first rap music? Wasn't it the guys way, way back in the 20s and 30s, the cowboys talking along behind the guitar? I mean, you could technically define that as rap.
As rap, yeah.
And so, that's kind of a queer juncture there that there's a common background with cowboys from the 30s and Puff Daddy.
And there are a lot of elements even in rap where people are talking rhythmically behind music, and that is on a lot of levels something that poetry comes from as well. And a lot of what we have done recently, we've had an open mic for guitar playing, and people would come and ask about poetry, and so we started putting music to poetry and recording that live and performing that live. We've also done that live at a number of different venues and have done some studio work with it. So it's possible to be able to mix different mediums and forms for new products, I think.
Well, we sort of, our listeners, many of our listeners know you very well. We've had you on actually a couple of times. We've had a rebroadcast of the two times you've been on with us, Janet, and the ones that John's been on with us. But let's back up for the benefit of the listeners who are hearing you for the first time.
Sure.
Let's give them the bio story. You know, tell them how you guys got together, how the project came about. You know, bring them up to speed.
Well, I've done my own writing, and I've sung in other bands. And talking with John, he used to be in a band in different parts of the country in different years, and I had said that I haven't had a chance to be able to play if you want to be practicing or whatever, I would love to do that with you, you know, and practice some music. And so we've just started doing that. We don't have the best time with coming up with original songs. We have some of our own old songs that we'll do. Otherwise, there would be performance art pieces where people would need things for poetry, and so he would do engineering work with other instruments for studio time, as well as figuring out how to play just with the acoustic guitar and have live performances with poetry as well. As of late, we have done a lot of covers for things like the open mic that we'd run for the past 6 months, where people could just come up and play music, so we would do the same thing. So we get to be known as the acoustic alternative cover band, I think. So, I'm trying to think of what else you'd like to know.
Well, I guess that's a good start. And let's give them the indoctrination here if they haven't heard anything from the second action. We're about to give you, you're going to hear a little five poem set, right? Is that what we're about to hear?
You're hearing something from the album called The Entropy Project of ours, a CD of ours, where this was studio work where he did a lot of engineering work with different instrumentals to come up with the music behind these five tracks. They are Salamander, Tall Man, Ranting, Too Much Light, and Odd How Things Turn Out That Way. I even know in one of them he was editing my voice. It sounds like I'm an old man talking through one of them. I think it's kind of funny. So, but that studio time that we had done, that's available on a CD called The Entropy Project.
Well, let's give the audience a dose here. Folks, if you'd like to share a question or a comment with us and the listeners out there who are listening with you, send us an email to request@artistfirst.com. There's a link in the upper right-hand corner of our homepage. All right. The first tracks we're running from the second action. Here we go.
When the tail comes off a salamander, the salamander grows back a new tail. And at 12, we were amazed with this little morsel of knowledge. And we wanted to catch a salamander so we could pull off its tail and see for ourselves. And I find it amazing and wonderful and frightening and disturbing that our quest for knowledge is greater than our compassion. I can see in your presence across the room a movement, a stir. Your long shadow stretching across the wall. An occasional voice, I'll take whatever I can take. A stranger, yet I feel I know you all too well.
I don't like to watch movies. In fact, in America, decide that people need to escape so desperately. Yes, switch off the brain for a few hours because work is such a bitch. Trying endlessly to find an infinite number of ways to make it look like you're actually working when actually you're screwing off. So you need to unwind with pictures and sound, but not actual interaction or, dare I say, activity. Unwind with pictures and sound of an overly muscular leading man decorated with ammo belts blowing away a faceless enemy, because we all want to actually kill, don't we? And this is just our way to live on our sick little fantasies. So we watch this leading man decorated with ammo belts blowing away a faceless enemy, punctuating a scene with a less than witty one-liner. Oh, sorry. Was I ranting? Thank you.
too much light makes the baby go blind. And too much light makes the moth rush into the flame and die in a final glorious blaze of glory. And I have seen the light, and I have seen it. What is my choice? Burn in the flame, to burst quickly, to die young, or to slowly slip away, to die slowly, day by day. To let people in darkness pull me in, inch by inch. Until the light kills me. Husband beaten wife. In a panic. The cops showed up. She shot an officer. Wanted to be left alone. The cop wore a bulletproof vest. But the bullet hit his arm. Ricocheted off a bone. Right into his heart. And killed him dead.
You're listening to the poetry, music, and performance art of the second acting. And on the phone with us, if you're just joining us late, is Janet Kuipers and John Yatko. That makes up the dynamic duo of the second acting. Everything okay there, guys?
Yes.
Yeah.
The dynamic duo is fine.
The dynamic duo.
Dynamic duo.
You know, we were...
As long as I'm not Robin.
That whole thing, if you're old enough as I am to... even understand what the dynamic duo conjures up, I guess that tells our age. Well, you guys are a different type of group. You're the idea of mixing poetry and music, it's been around for a while, but you know, it's something that's gaining popularity more in recent years than I think in the past. At least that's my perception of it. We also have another program that features that called Copus Music a lot, and it's very popular out in San Francisco. What do you want to say about that whole performance art, music, poetry type thing? Where do you see it going?
I couldn't say where I see it going for the world. I like to see directions for it for myself. I just actually got a book from the library about Laurie Anderson, who is a performance artist, and it talked about the fact that she would put on a show and decide that she wanted to be able to get into people's faces and would use any sort of imagery as well as sounds that she would orchestrate as well as telling her story so that you would have as many different forms as possible to inundate yourself with the message. I do performance art shows on my own that are not musically related. As a performance artist and a writer and a reader and an editor, I do quarterly shows in Chicago, and I set them up with images that are going all the time, and they have different sorts of instrumentals backing up to accentuate what the storyline is of what I'm talking about. In fact, the last show that I just did, we had a mixing board, and it was able to change my voice so that I could have a low voice, like a, you know, this low
the dark
man voice.
Or
something, something in a high pitch, you know, so I'd have something where my voice would change for different for different moods, for different pieces to get a point across. So I feel comfortable in being able to do those kinds of things normally. When we were doing, we found ourselves in live shows, we would think, oh, we could have another piece, and John would be like, oh, I have instrumentals here I could play, and I'm like, well, I could just follow a rhythm and read something off to it and otherwise let it be an instrumental. And so we would have things like our live tracks in Alaska where we would do that on the fly, or else we would just come up with music that would be fitting for a piece, like we've done with doing things at our live open mics at Sing Your Life for a weekly performance. Our open mics, we would do pieces like that. I'm trying to think. What else, John?
Well, John, is being a guitarist in a performance art performance different than playing in a, say, cover tunes in a nightclub band? I mean, is it different?
It's different, yeah.
I guess in what ways?
Well, for one thing, it's usually your own stuff then. Versus covers, you're doing your own thing, so you do have the advantage of being able to make a mistake and nobody will know about it.
Yeah, that's right. There you go.
That would be one of the good things. Sometimes, though, just trying to come up with something that would be fitting for the poem, it's a lot different than music because the idea of timing, because a lot of what Janet does is prose, so there really isn't that rhythmic element that you find in poetry where you have rhyme that ends up, you know, being more her poetry is less lyrical, it's more prose related. So
well, and your poem make, especially the way Janet writes her poetry, you're covering a lot of territory in few lines, and to have to try and change the musical theme to match all these different concepts that are coming out, you know, in rapid fire,
right,
that probably does pose some problems.
There is one, I think, advantage in an audience when you're doing a performance art, you know, when you're doing poetry to music, usually people are there because they are sitting there and intently want to listen and get a message versus people that are just hanging out probably at a bar while you're doing some sort of cover, and they can just easily tune you out and, you know, continue doing something else, talking with other friends and drinking.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Well, that's true. That is one thing, yeah. But if you're playing in a cover band or something, or music, that's true. People are usually continue to do their own thing, play pool or whatever it is they're doing at a bar, whereas if you're now doing performance art or poetry, you tend to have more of an audience.
You have a much more captive audience because they actually want to hear every sort of detail and get understand the meaning behind what's said as well. So I think that helps a lot. That's a difference in the audience, which gives a different feeling when you're performing the work as well.
I think, oops, what happened here to my volume? There we go. I think that would be an advantage because of the idiots you come across that have had too many beers.
Yeah.
And, you know, and they just lose control. And in that, your type of situation you're describing, that would seem to me never happen.
No, it doesn't.
Somebody overdoses on a few too many cappuccinos or something, has a caffeine buzz going on or something. I don't know. Let me ask you, has there ever been an odd situation at one of your performances for whatever? Now, you don't have to tell us anything embarrassing in front of thousands of people. But has there been an episode that was, you know, that maybe you'd like to recall, or maybe you've been fortunate and there haven't been?
I wouldn't say odd. I do know that from our open mics, one bartender would be like, hey, can you do Beat It Again by Michael Jackson? Then I'll be happy, you know, or people will request things like that. Someone, you know, came up and asked, you know, hey, do you happen to know this song? Can you cover this? And, you know, we get that a lot.
Or somebody comes up to join you in singing.
Yeah, the open mic, yes.
Yeah, and they're not carrying a Mai Tai in one
hand.
They're
carrying
a
different tune too, is what they're carrying.
Oh, man. So you haven't had any wacko nut jobs walk right up to you and stand nose to nose with you in front of the microphone for an entire set?
No. I think once from a past show that I did with the band Mom's Favorite Vase, I was performing, and one guy was drunk enough that he just stood 2 or 3 feet away from me because it was a 1 foot riser for the stage, and just sat there and stared at me really close the whole time. But you just have to, you know, shut that off, and maybe they'll just leave, which eventually he did. I think he got bored with standing there in one spot too long, really. But
that he throws up. That's always delightful. Hey, there we go. Yeah, what happens to these people? You know, maybe one of our listeners out there is realizing, hey, I remember when I did that. I better not do that anymore.
I don't know.
We were playing a gig years ago at a college bar, and lead singer's out there, you know, in the front of the band standing there, and a guy literally walks up, you know, his toes are touching the base of the mic stand, and he's just standing there going, yeah, you know.
Oh,
and then he's out of his pocket. We thought he was getting out M&Ms, and it was handfuls of narcotics.
Oh, my
he
God.
He just said, hey, eat some of these things. And then, of course, they came and got him. But
no, I think this was just a beer haze that this guy was in.
Oh, good.
You know?
Maybe you're sparing yourself from the gutters of some of the less gifted of our society. Let's get into a completely different vein. We're going to play this is an 8-minute track you're about to hear. And, I'll let you set it up for him. It starts with Too Far.
What is this one about? This is from the live concert in Alaska.
In Alaska, that's right.
This was one of those situations where we just, that day we found out that we were doing this show. We were just in town for the week. We were borrowing someone else's guitar.
And we were drinking heavily.
All right.
And so we didn't have a lot of material, but we did, I think, an 18-song set. But we were trying to come up with things to do, and he did a whole intro, I believe, of 8 instrumentals where he was just going at it at the guitar, which was really cool. And so while we were there, I said, well, you know, if you've got a piece, I can just come up with something to read, which is what we did for these 3 pieces that you've got. One is the poem called Too Far. One is called The Burning. And the last one's kind of a funny one. It's called On an Airplane with a Frequent Flyer.
So live from Alaska. That is great, man. I'd like to get up to Alaska sometime before I croak.
This is the time of year to go up there so you can see the aurora borealis.
Solar flares would probably do phenomenal things to the sky right now.
Yeah, especially last week with the back-to-back solar storms passing.
Exactly.
Yeah, someday. But I work 7 days a week, so I don't have much time to get to Alaska. So. All right, here we go. Here's the track live in Alaska from the second axing.
Doctor got my nose slimmed.
my tummy stapled, my thighs stuck. Thought about getting a rib or two removed. You know, like share. But I figured they've got to be there for something. And I figured, hey, that's us going too far. Vodka. Feel it burn its way down my throat. Hiss, it's scorching my tongue. And reach the bottle to pour myself another. I think of all my tonsils scream every time I let the alcohol rape me. Then I was down on my hands, shaking, holding that glass of poison. I think of how these are the hands that should have pushed you away from me. And I keep wondering why I took your hell, took your poison. I let you burn your way through me. You corrupted me from the inside out, and I kept coming back. I let you infect me, and now you've ripped a hole right through me. I hated it. Now I have to rid myself of you, and my escape is flowing between the ice cubes and the glass nestled in my palm. But I have to drink more. The burning doesn't last as long as you do.
Okay, it's hard for me to sing a song when I just keep thinking about Alaska. Flight back from Hawaii, and there's always such a long line to use the bathroom. You know, you're on such a long flight. Everybody seems to be waiting to use the bathroom on a flight that long. So I'm waiting there, and I finally get up into the line. And I get to the door, and I close the door, slide the lever over, so that it says, Ocupado on the door. The lights come on, I turn around, I look in. And I look into this toilet. And somebody, well, left a very healthy mess in the toilet. I didn't seem to want to go down in the toilet on this long flight. And I look at this thing and I'm like, So I try to flush the thing and it won't budge. And so I leave that bathroom and I look. And I looked on this long line of people waiting to use this crowded little bathroom. And I just wanted to tell them all, you know, I didn't do that. And then I realized when everyone went through that bathroom, they would walk out and think the exact same thing.
Nice ovation there for you guys live in Alaska. That's the second acting. That's Janet Kuipers and John Yatko. If you're just joining us, it's a featured artist special. And, boy, that was an enthusiastic crowd response.
They liked us there.
They did. They called us back for a second night. I mean, I found it hard to believe that they were like that. But apparently, there's not a lot to do up there. So it's a huge, huge bar outside of Fairbanks, about 12 miles north of Fairbanks. What was the name of the place?
Something Jack's.
Jack's. Maybe just Jack's.
I don't even remember. Although, if you look on the web, there is a page for the second accent at http://scars.tv/axe.htm. And there are links to the concert tracks of what we've done there, and it probably tells you the name of the place that we played at. Now I have to go look.
The Scars TV website and another is also linked up underneath the band's name on our schedule for this evening for surfers that want to surf on over effortlessly. Let's talk a bit about the differences between being a performance artist and being a recording artist. And John, you in particular, since you have to, you get so many variables in the studio that you can work with, yet you're stuck out there live with your guitar.
So, yeah, there is a big difference because, you know, everything we do live has been primarily acoustic. Just this last show that Jan did was the first time that she used any kind of an effect with her voice where she was doing pitch shifting and then adding echo and things for other parts. So when you go to do something live, it gets really, I guess, thin sounding. Some of the songs that she was actually doing the poetry to there, they were actually primarily supposed to be done with an electric guitar and with flanging or phasing, phase shifting, something like that in chorus to add more sound to it. But we were there, so we just did it that way. You know, here I would have keyboards. I would have a selection of a few different guitars. One thing I was doing, I think I was squishing a can one time to make the recording because I wanted to get that heartbeat sound of one of the earlier pieces that we did. And Jenna asked, "What am I doing?" Yes, what I was doing. I just wanted to get that sound. I didn't know. And now we have this other thing that my brother-in-law just gave us. It's one of those...
We don't know the name of this.
We don't know what it's called. So if anybody out there knows what it's called...
Well, you should explain what it is.
If you saw Crocodile Dundee...
It's an Australian toy, musical instrument. I have no idea. It is a wooden stick that's probably...
It is for communication. It is actually an Aboriginal communication thing. I don't know what it's called. It has a long string and it's an
8-inch wooden string and you spin it. Over your
head, and it makes
different sounds.
Woofing, like a ruffling sound, or something really deep ruffling sound.
It's an
anybody knows what it is, please, dear God, let us know.
It's an Aboriginal cell phone.
Exactly.
And you have no roaming charges.
Exactly.
You're out there roaming yourself anyway. Well, we know we get lots of listeners in Australia, so any of our Australian listeners that can help us out here on the name of that instrument, please do so. Email us at request@artistfirst.com. Of course, right now it's about 9:30 in the morning in Perth, Australia.
Ooh.
Yep, we're doing the morning show for the commute to Perth today. It's great. You know, we really do get emails from our Australian listeners. We've had several Australian bands on. Even a guy from Tasmania is currently in our rotation. It's great because the timing is perfect, as opposed to other European countries where our prime time is in the middle of the night,
three and four
and five in the morning. It seems we get a little bit more listeners from the, at least during prime time from Australia. Yeah. So we'll see what happens. Yep, we got something, we just got spammed. I thought maybe, well, there you go. What are you going to do? Well, what do you guys prefer doing? You know, in the two worlds that you float between, which are live performance and the recording studio, which are you guys most comfortable at?
Which would we do? I think he enjoys playing with the computer and the editing of the. Yeah, he's nodding.
I'm shaking my head yes over here. I kind of enjoy that. I do because that's really where I get a chance to be more creative than
the mad scientist, as we call him.
I am. Somebody says I have math Tourette's.
Because he's so mathematically oriented that he can just whip out any information, like, you know, any otherwise electronic or mathematical information. And you said creatively, since it's usually my words, myself performing, oftentimes, although it makes me, I get very nervous doing it, I enjoy the feedback that I'll get after a live performance of performance art. So I like that as well. So, hopefully it works out for the both of us. I love the work that John does once it's pre-recorded, but it's often not material that we could do live. So we get a variety of works at that rate.
Well, there is obviously immediate satisfaction of listening to the ovation, like we just heard at the end of your last track there. But it's the live, the recording aspect that outlives us.
Yes.
Yeah, there's a lot of memories of the people that were there, and they'll remember your thing. But for future generations, you got to get it on CD or tape sometime.
Right.
You're leaving something to posterity.
Yeah, definitely.
So how much material? I mean, you sent us a ton of stuff here. It would take us several shows to go through everything you sent us. How much material have you guys cranked out over the years?
When it comes to poetry, I mean,
You could fill up several CDs, and you've got. I mean, how many pieces do you think, Janet, you've written and performed in public, separate pieces?
Each one of your shows.
I do quarterly performance art shows where I talk and do material for probably about 45 minutes. I've done that for a few years. And I have those things recorded and available on the internet at scars.tv, actually. I'm trying to think. I mean, I've done studio work as well. There are probably 4 or 5 CDs of my own work that wasn't from live performances. But I'm trying to think about it. When it comes to just music, I haven't done as much because the performance art stuff on my own is not with John with the second acting. He will help me out as an engineer with coming up with material for it. But we haven't done as much stuff. We've done occasionally we'll do musical pieces, like I think it'll be our next piece is a song called Why that I did a long time ago. But a lot of the things will be things that we'll have to pull on the fly for being able to play live with something that I know the words to for a poem that we can pull off. And we've got probably more of those than of our own original songs, but...
Well, great segue there, Janet. Of course, guess what the next tune we're going to play is, audience? You've got it. It's called Why. What do you want to tell us about this before we play it?
That was actually something I wrote a long time ago, and I asked John to come up with the music for it, so he did. How would you describe
it? I don't even remember how this goes, actually. I'm trying to think. I can't think of how it goes. And I'm drawing a blank right now.
It's an older piece of ours,
so here we go, audience. It's called Why. The band is the Second Axing.
Da 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 tear me all to pieces. Why are you so far away? I cannot stand to take the pain. I'll do it anyway. I have been trapped by the things that you do. I cannot see why I've fallen for you. I cannot live, so I will give in. I cannot fight, so I'll let you win. Say we can be together. Say be mine today and make my dreams come true tonight. Stay until the end of time. I'll see why I've fallen for you. I've been trapped by the things that you do. I cannot fight, so I'll let you win. I cannot live, so I will give.
It's the music of Second Axing. They are on the line with us right now, and they is Janet Kuipers and John Yatko. And I had your CD on in the office this afternoon, and I was trying to make the inevitable comparison that you, when you hear someone singing, who do they sound like? And I still can't put my finger on it, but I know that there's an artist out there in the back of my brain that I can think of, but I can't come up with her name. Janet, who do you think you sound like? Who have others compared you to, maybe?
Well, I have heard, one guy at a show that I did, this I thought was funny, said I sounded like Janis Joplin, which I didn't think at all.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I've got, I don't know. I think I have a little more soul in my voice than the average singer, usually. Something George Michael E. asked, I guess. I don't know.
Can I make a confession? I never really liked Janis Joplin's voice. It was scratchy and whiny.
Yeah.
Good music, but she didn't have the prettiest voice of all time.
Yeah, and this is what he was saying that I reminded this guy of. And I'm like, really? I thought I sounded a bit clearer.
You should have thrown your drink on him or something. Something like that. Well, John, you're the music side of this. I'm the performance side, and that poses, as we stated earlier, its own unique set of problems. But you guys do host a open mic night. Is it every week?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
They're going through some work right now on the bar, so we haven't been doing it every week just recently because they're doing construction work. But yes, it was a weekly open mic show.
Well, I used to love to go to open mics with my fellow musician buddies, but I work nights now and I can't. I was always a great time, especially if you're a musician and you have a big set list and you can play a lot of stuff. Once you reach a certain level, those things are really, really cool. John, tell us, our listeners, a little bit about who are some of the better guys that show up. You know, you get your, I would imagine, you would get some folks in, you know, you'd see on a regular basis, and some are, maybe you have some outstanding players that show up.
Well, we're kind of in an out-of-the-way place for open mics. It's not a real big thing there, so we don't see a lot of the same people over and over again. We have had guys, one guy come up there, and it was amazing. I mean, he got up there, and he just said, all right, you don't want to do a set? Go on ahead, just sit up there, and he did probably five or six songs in a row. Of course, he played in the band. And we have actually had full bands come in for an open mic. Metal, speed metal. It was pretty surprising. They came in with the drums and all their equipment, and it's like, okay, we'll just move our equipment aside, and do you mind if we use your equipment?
That always makes it nicer for the audience, too, because the audience doesn't want to sit there for a half hour, 45 minutes, while the next band does a sound check. It's just not good for your audience.
They would set up, and they would do a set, and then we'd go up there and we'd do our open mic thing while they were moving the drums. Basically, everybody used the same electronics. The only thing they used was different drum sets.
As it should be, folks. Let's keep it moving. We had We did six bands in 4 hours at Mount Union College last November in a theater concert setting. Six bands. Complete setups and teardowns in a four-hour show, and we didn't miss a lick because we did the same thing. We used all the bands had to use the basic system.
Right.
Yeah, the drummer could use his foot pedal and his snare drum, and the keyboard player could use the stand, but, you know, it's the only way to do it.
Yeah, guitars don't take too long to hook up.
No, but they had to use the amps that were there. You know, we're not rolling in amps.
Oh, yeah, as long as you're not moving all that stuff around, it takes no time at all, and that's really what was happening there.
The big
thing though is you're sitting up there and you're offering your instrument for somebody to use, so you're always in mortal fear that whoever is going to go up there and grab it is just going to start thrashing on the thing.
John, I was just going to ask you that because some people are very, very close with their instruments. There's like a spiritual connection between their instruments, and other guys, they're just a piece of it's a utility, it's an appliance. And there you go.
His guitar, he has a 12 string. And he had, because he was getting used to playing a 6, he pulled some of the strings off, so the guitar has 8 strings on it right now.
Mm.
He's even got a license plate that says string 8 because his guitar has 8 strings to it. And people would come up to play, and they would think, wow, this is really interesting. I'm playing on an 8 string guitar here. So,
that's really a bit that. Unique. You should have. You guys should check out the band called Eidolon. The guy I interviewed, he plays an instrument called a gitjo, and what it is, it's a banjo and a guitar melded together. It's a 14-string instrument with two necks.
Wow!
And
wow!
It's an acoustic, and the guy can play both necks simultaneously. I don't know how he does it, but he does.
I don't. It's like they said, Jimmy Page could do that too on the electric.
But, you know, you're absolutely right. You got this instrument that it's your baby, and you got some person you don't even know up there. Oh, my God, I just got to tell you this story. There's a real popular band in our area called the Class of 57. They were a huge band. They came up to see our band play one time, and they said, hey, can we jump up and play a song? I said, sure. So we go back. We're in the audience. The keyboard player starts to play my keyboards with his foot. All right? And the stage is probably 4 feet off the ground. And it's on a big A-frame stand. This knucklehead kicks my keyboard off the stand. It falls 7 feet to the dance floor.
Oh, no.
I mean, I'm horrified. Here I am in the audience going, what the hell are you doing, you idiot? And, you know, his $2,000 keyboard just took an 8-foot plunge, and nothing happened to it. That's Yamaha, good Yamaha equipment.
Okay.
You know, we immediately threw those guys and told them to get the hell out of there. You know, I just wanted to kill somebody, but... You know, to put a little crack in the housing, but for all intents and purposes, it was completely unharmed. But, yeah, and that's what you worry about every time you hand that guitar to somebody.
Yeah, are they going to break it? It's just a big concern.
Maybe you should invest in a pawn shop special that you can put up there. Hey, I've seen some great buys at the pawn shop for $60. You know what I'm saying? Then you wouldn't have to worry about stuff like that.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. We got two more things we want to run before the hour expires here. The next thing we're going to run is, I'll let you introduce
the
it.
Open mics.
There we go.
Because people would come in and ask about, is this for poetry? Because they like to hear poetry in open mics. So we would start to read to music. So what you've probably got there are a couple of tracks from the live performances at Sing Your Life. The pieces were called More Than We Should Have and Scars 97, which I think is kind of funny because our web address is scars.tv/x.htm. So we've got a couple of pieces from the live Sing Your Life performance art open mics.
And here we go.
Hi, and welcome to Sing Your Life. We're here every Tuesday night, so your mother can come on up here. And if you want to, you can play the guitar, borrow John's thing. He's got eight strings on it. Or if you want to read some poetry, we're going to start off by reading a couple of poems. This one is called More Than We Should Have. When I think of him, I usually think about the drinking. Actually, I never think of him as drinking, I come to think of it. I just think of him as drunk. I can't even remember seeing a glass in his hand, but his perception of the world is always altered. But someone reminded me tonight of when he would work outside in the cold Chicago winters, and he would come home from work with his mustache frozen, and there would be little icicles hanging down toward his mouth. And then I thought of when I watched him at the airport because we were picking up someone, and we sat in the shrimp cocktail lounge, and he drank and ate, and I waited. And as we left, we tried to pay the express toll with pennies, but some of the coins fell onto the street, and we had to feverishly throw more change at the machine. We paid more than we should have. I'm sure we did. John, this one's called Scars 97. I wear my scars like badges. These deep marks show through from under my skin like war paint on an Apache chief. Decorated with feathers, the skins of his prey. I have a scar over my left knee. It's left over from a bout with poison ivy I had after climbing a mountainside. This 4-inch long slice curled around my leg, almost perfectly defined on the muscles in my side. I have a scar on my right shin. I slipped on a patch of rocks and cut up the lower half of my leg, and it filled it with gravel and dirt. Joe poured hydrogen peroxide on my leg and wrapped my wounds with paper towels because the cuts were so widespread. An hour later, I was on my way home so I could tend to my wounds in greater detail, tend to my wounds in depth. Now all that is left is a 2-inch line down the side of my leg. Although it wasn't a very deep cut, it looks like it went straight to the bone. I have a circular scar on my left calf from getting off the motorcycle and sliding my leg over the scalding hot exhaust pipe. It has been 7 years since I gained that scar, and with each year I still see it fade just a little. I can still see it, but the memory is slowly slipping away. My cat scratched me on my wrist once, when we had to give her medication. See, cats don't like pills or having ointment dabbed on and liquid poured all over their wounds. So when giving her pills, we'd grab her paws, pull her head back by the nape of her neck, pry her jaws wide open so the pill would just fall back and she's forced to swallow. but sometimes she moved too much and a paw would slip out of our grasp. And now, over the bone on my left wrist, a long, thin scar stares at me defiantly. I tell people that they wake up with bruises and cuts they don't remember getting, then they must have had fun the night before. But each marking, each scar is a story, is a memory. It is a way to remember how you lived. And it is with these marks that I gauge my living. It is with these marks that I feel decorated.
There you have it. It's the band The Second Axing. That's Janet Kuipers and John Yatko, if you are joining us late. And we were just talking before off-air, before we hung up here, that Janet's program, when she was on as an author with Jade Logan on the Author's First program back in September, we are proud to say that that program was the number one most listened to broadcast in the entire month of September on this network. It was over 12,000 people tuned in to that single hour. Congratulations.
Oh, thanks.
What do you got going on? You got a publicity company working for you, or what's going on there?
You would think so. I don't know. I don't know what kind of turnout we've got for the second act thing, so maybe I haven't been working so hard on publicizing. I'm not sure.
Well, whatever you did, do it again. That was terrific. And, you know, it's very heartwarming to be one of the owners of the station and know that we've got audiences of that size. Just think if you guys had to do that and put on a concert and accommodate 12,000 people. Where would you even do it? It would cost you tens of thousands of dollars.
Yes.
You know, John, what's the biggest gig you've ever played in front of?
Oh, me?
Yes.
Oh, I don't know, 1,000 maybe or so?
I mean, that's a huge crowd to play in front of.
That is big.
And, you know, on any average night like right now, we've got 2,500 to 4,000 people listening. So this medium works. It gets you out there. And, you know, and Janet, if you would have been thinking on the phone when you were talking to Jay during that broadcast that there were 12,000 people staring at you, you might have been a little more nervous. Maybe not, though. Maybe, you know, people thrive on that kind of stuff.
You can't see beyond the lights.
Well, yeah, and it's, you know, you just can't think about it because it'll mess with your mind. But
exactly.
We really appreciate our listeners tuning in. And, hey, I haven't checked the email recently. Let's do that in case we've got any questions or comments there. But, well, we're into our final segment, and it's going to lead us up to the last tune that we want to run. But we've got a couple of minutes here. What haven't we chatted about that you want to talk about? How about any friends or enemies you want to say something to in front of a lot of people?
I can't think of anything that I don't have scores to settle on the airwaves, so I am just fine with that. But I would just say that if your listeners are interested in hearing any of these tracks, you can go to scars.tv/axe.htm. Or if there's a spelling of my own name on the website, you can go to janetkuipers.com. And there are links to the Open Mic Sing Your Life and lots of MP3s from past performances there, as well as from our live concerts in Alaska. There's footage there. We've got the CD, The Entropy Project, with poetry recordings of his, as well as other live recordings at other venues. So if you ever wanted to listen to anything more, it's all right there for you to be able to sample. It's your choice.
And both of those links that Janet just mentioned are posted on the Artist First homepage on tonight's schedules. Surf on over and check it out. Well, we're running a little over, and we want to alert our affiliates down the line that we'll probably be running about 3 or 4 minutes over, but that's okay. I think the artists that come on our network deserve all the time we can possibly give them. It has been a pleasure having you guys on. I feel like I know you.